Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give thanks and honor to the Lord, who is God, and we're so thankful for all that He is doing in our lives. We thank God for being our strength and our shield and our buckler. We thank you for being our strong tower and our righteousness. We thank God for each and every day that He gives us. We're so thankful for all that He is doing in our lives. I tell you, God is awesome, great, and He's greatly to be praised. We thank God for each and every one of you that will log in, those that will call in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. Thank God for each and every one of you that will join us here live on Facebook. God bless each and every one of you. I'm so thankful to be a part of this ministry and that all that God is doing and He is telling us to do. So thankful for Him using us to be what He has purpose for us to do. So just so thankful. I forgot something. I gotta go do it while I'm calling in. I forgot. Anyway, let me get back in here. So we've been talking about prayer. That's why I say to have a checklist so you can check everything off when you get ready to get online. But anyway, we've been talking about prayer, and this is and then our next topic in this series, because we're building a better relationship with God, and that's our series. And of course, we've been talking about prayer for some time, and so now we're going to be talking about we're going to still talk about prayer, but I'm going to talk about some spiritual war weapons that we can utilize in our prayer. I remember preaching a message I wrote years ago. It's called Weapons of Mass Victory. And so we're going to even talk about those weapons that we can use in our prayer time and in our life, you know, that will help us to get through the things that the enemy is trying to come up against us. But we have weapons that we can use that are in God's arsenal that He has given us. And if we have the faith to use them, then we can use them against the attack of the enemy, and we will win all the time because we're on the winning side. So we're so thankful for that. But I just want to recap what we've been talking about for those that are joining us for the first time. And we do a broadcast, our internet broadcast and Facebook Live at the same time. So if you see me looking back and forth, that's the reason why, because I'm clicking people in. So anyway, I thank God for just this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless this word to fall on good ground. Bless those that needed to hear it. Lord, that they will be enriched and blessed by it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one on the sound of my voice. Lord, that their lives will be blessed, oh God. And that, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, that you would do exceedingly abundantly and above all they can even ask or think. Bless, Lord, as only you can. Touch as only you can. Bless those and comfort those who have lost loved ones during this season, God, in the name of Jesus. And just bless the families, Lord. Comfort them as only you can. Lord, because we know that, Lord, you're the only one that can do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to bless those that need healing, God. Let your healing virtue flow through their bodies, oh God, and let them be healed by the blood of, by your stripes that they are healed. So, Lord, we thank you for healing people today. Lord, I ask a special prayer for Joanne Shotwell. Lord, bless her today. Lord, touch her, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to pray, bless her, Lord Jesus. She'll come off that kidney machine, that dialysis, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and bless her kidneys to function as you had designed them to do in the beginning. Lord, so we thank you for her glory, for the victory, and for her healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless, hallelujah, Lord, this country, oh God. Bless the leadership of this country. Lord, save them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless, hallelujah, our leaders and our pastors and all of those that ministered the gospel this morning across this country and all abroad. Lord, to pour back into them and strengthen them as only you can. Lord, I ask you to bless my pastor, Bishop Jake. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that came forth from all our pastors and leaders and all those that preach the gospel today, evangelists, top prophets, teachers, hallelujah, pastors, evangelists, and the apostles. Bless each and every one of them, God. In the name of Jesus, pour back into them as you had them pour out this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, I'm trying. This is But anyway, we are of course, you know, we endeavor to reach those that are lost and those that are newly saved so that they can be blessed by the word of God. And so that's our purpose. But anyway, we've been talking about prayer. And we started out on this journey, and I think we've been talking about prayer for almost over, probably about, I think since sometime we started in November, I believe, that we started talking about prayer in that time. So we kind of walked our way through prayer, and I think our next topic is humility. And so Elder Timberlake is preparing herself for that, and she told me, she said, I'm not going to be ready till the 1st of April, she said, because she started studying, and she found that it was a little more in-depth than she could just jump out there. So I'm going to give her the time. I told her I'd try to hold it down until she got ready. So, you know, because I hadn't really studied nothing else myself. But anyway, but the Lord has given me something to continue on with until she is ready to talk about humility. And so we're going to keep talking about, we're going to recap prayer today. We talked about the Holy Ghost. I was so excited this morning when Bishop was preaching this morning. He came out of in Acts, where it talks about, I think it's the 10th chapter, where it talks about Cornelius, when Cornelius and them received the Holy Ghost, and how Paul, God had already spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, you know, because Paul was like, well, you know, I'm not going to eat any of these unclean beasts. And God told him, he said, don't call anything I have made uncommon or unclean. But he was talking about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he was talking about. And he talked about that this morning, but he had a different time, and I won't do it any justice. If you want to hear that, you got to go out there to podcasthouse.org and log on. It is out there available for you to hear. And, of course, my pastor, I don't need no promotion. But anyway, that is my pastor, and I hope you're doing the same for your pastors. You know, they preaching the good word. They're taking the time to study. And so you should tell somebody about what the gospel that you heard this morning and spread the news. Amen, because it's good news. And so I thank God for that. But I thank God for, I've been praying. I've really been praying that people would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what I've been praying. I've been praying that, I want to see, you know, that Pentecost experience, you know, the people that we had, that they did, even like on Azusa Street, when you hear those things, you hear people talk about that. We hear about that a lot, back in the day when they were talking about how that happened and all of that. And I've just been praying for an outpour of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come in and fill people with the Holy Spirit, refill some people, and just touch people's lives, and we'll have that great experience of the power of the Holy Ghost. And so I just really want that, and I've been praying for that for across this country, that it would happen in churches all over the place, that, you know, we would get together. And so that would happen. But we had a blessing this morning. Our pastor was talking about that particular scripture, and then he began to pray that the Spirit of God, he said they were filled with the Spirit before they were even baptized. You know, usually they were baptized and then filled with the Holy Ghost. But this particular, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and then baptized. And so he was just praying that people would be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. And so we had people were beginning to be filled with the Spirit. And we thank God for that. And I was so excited because that's something I've been praying for. You know, it's always exciting when you see something that you've been praying for begin to manifest. And so I'm so thankful for that. Also, so I was talking because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit because we were talking about praying in the Spirit. But the Lord led me to go back and begin to talk about who the Holy Spirit was and his person. He's the third person of Godhead and all those things, and begin to talk about him and what he came to do, how he came to speak of Christ. And so he's Christ living within us. And so all of those things. And so we talked about that and talked about being filled with the Holy Ghost, saying that it is a gift. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can ask God and he'll fill you with the Spirit. And so we're so thankful that he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when I heard all that this morning, I was so excited about that. But anyway, so we started off talking about prayer in the basic sense of prayer, you know, what is prayer and things like that. And so I think I've recapped this a couple of times, but I'm going to do it again for those that may not have been on here at the beginning of this teaching. So we'll talk about it. So, of course, you know, I talked about the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we need to pray without ceasing. And, of course, Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are to always pray and not faint, and not to faint. And so, of course, he was talking about that particular passage of scripture in the sense where Jesus urged his disciples to persist in prayer, to be persistent in prayer. And he gave the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, and how that she wanted to be avenged of her adversary, and how she just kept coming to the unjust judge. She just kept coming to him and asking him to avenge her of her adversary. And so she wore him down, and so finally he said, you know, he's not a godly man, he said, but he was tired of her coming, so he granted her request. And so how can an unjust person give good gifts? How much more would our Heavenly Father do for us? So sometimes we got to persist in prayer. We got to keep praying for things, and we don't see it happen. Keep praying until it manifests. Because one thing we do, we got to understand it. We got to have faith to believe that what we are praying for, that we can receive. Bible tells us in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If you ask, ye shall believe that ye shall receive. And, of course, Hebrews 11:1-6 tells us, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So when we come to God in prayer, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. We got to believe that. So we got to believe who God is, and that God is the one that does. I told us, I don't want to get ahead of myself because when I get too excited, I can start getting ahead. But anyway, so we talked about what is prayer, and prayer is a reverent petition we make unto God. And prayer is not just us asking God for something, but it is us engaging in conversation with God. So we are listening as well as talking to God. So we're talking to God and we're listening to God, because if we talk to him, then we need to, if we're talking to somebody and we're asking them for things, we're asking them to do stuff, then we need let's ask him to direct our path and give us direction in the way we should go and things like that. We have to also wait to listen. So we got to hear from God as well. And so that's the process. Prayer is a process that allows us to talk to God. God wants us to talk to him, and we can do that just like we would from person to person. I tell people all the time when I minister over at the hospital, when I go to Transformation Hospital, I tell them all the time. I was thinking this was my week to go, but next week is my week to go. So I was thinking, oh, God, all this to do. But next week is my week to go, next Sunday. But anyway, you know, prayer is, I tell them all the time, because, you know, a lot of times they'll ask, they say, well, you know, how do I pray? How do I do it? And I tell them, just begin to talk to God. You know, sometimes, you know, when we was coming up, especially in the Baptist church, you know, they had a rhyme and a rhythm to their prayer. You know, once more and again, our Heavenly Father. Oh, you know, they were doing all that. And so, you know, but I told them, you don't have to do all that. Just begin to communicate with God, talk to God. And so, because sometimes people get afraid of things because they don't really know how they should do things. But if you begin to communicate with God out of a sincere heart, I believe he'll hear your prayer. And so that's the one thing I believe. And so we talked about that. So we talked about the, you know, just the basics of prayer and what prayer is. It's our communication with God. And I talked about, you know, you cannot have a relationship if you have no communication. Now, we know that in the natural sense. If you are married, for people that are married, you can attest to this, I'm quite sure. If you and your husband are not communicating, then it's trouble in the camp. You cannot, the marriage can't work if there is no communication. And that goes for any type of relationship. Relationship at work, if you don't communicate with your boss and with your coworkers, then okay, there's something missing there, right? If you don't communicate with your children, there's something missing there. And so you have to be able to communicate. If you don't communicate with your siblings and your parents and things like that, there's a breakdown somewhere. So you have to have this communication line. And with us and God, it is prayer. And, of course, it's praise and worship as well. But prayer, praise, and worship is our opportunity to communicate with God. We go to God in prayer. Jesus gave us access when he died on the cross, when he was buried, he was resurrected, and then he made his ascension up to heaven. He gave us access to be able to reach God, to go to God boldly. Bible says, I think it's Hebrews 4:16. Let me see, I got it on here someplace. Yeah, here it is, 4:16. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in the time of need. And so we get the opportunity. We get the opportunity to go to God, boldly come in. Now we always remember, I always say this, you know, we're approaching a holy God. Now, we don't come in arrogant. We come in humble. We come in with humility. So we're approaching God with reverence because he's our king. He's our God. He's God. He's sovereign. And so we come to him in a reverence, but we come to him with a bold assurance because he is our God and because we're believing that he is going to do what we are request. He's going to meet the need of our request, especially if we are praying in the will of God. So that's important. That's why I always tell people, if you don't really know what to pray for, begin to search the scriptures. And if you have a certain situation that's going on in your life and you really need God to move, then search the scriptures. Find those scriptures that pertain to your situation and begin to pray those things over your situation. And because one thing we know about God, he said his word will not return unto him void. So if you pray the word of God and that's the will of God, then you know your request will be answered, especially if you have the faith to believe that. Faith is very important. We're going to talk about that a little bit towards the end here. We're going to talk about the weapons of warfare and some of the things that we use and we have in our arsenal to be able to use to fight, to survive, really, to go through life. We need these things in our arsenal so that we can begin to really, so we can really do what we need to do in the kingdom. And so those are some of the things we did. So we talked about that. So we know that we can come boldly because of the access that Jesus gave us. It was Jesus. God is awesome because he makes a way for everything. You know, he makes a way. He has it all lined out. He's that sovereign that he has got everything in alignment and everything is ready to go. We just fall in the line, then we can really get through these things. But even Jesus, then we talked about prayer being the key to hearing God and also being heard by God. We can hear God, and then God can hear us. Of course, I talked about last week is that the Holy Spirit is our advocate here on earth. And, of course, Jesus is in heaven sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is our advocate in heaven. And so we have him making intercession for us in heaven. And when we pray in the Spirit, then the Spirit is making intercession for us because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But when we pray in the Spirit, it will make that intercession. It will make that intercession for us. And so we have that also. And so then I talked about, you know, prayer develops our relationship. Prayer develops our relationship with God. And, you know, just like I said, no communication, then you don't have no relationship. Because you can't have a relationship and have no communication. So prayer and even praise and even worship is our time that we have in relationship with God. And so, of course, worship is that one-on-one prayer. Praise the Lord, Keisha. Praise is that one-on-one prayer that we see. God. You know, we're one-on-one. It's vertical praise. It's vertical worship. Is vertical. And then, of course, praise is something that we do corporately, but we praise God. So anyway. So then I talked about some of the methods of prayer. There was a method, and people use this today. It's called ACTS, and it says the method of prayer, which stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so, of course, adoration is praising, worshiping God for who he is. This is a pattern for prayer. And then I'm going to talk about the Lord's Prayer as it gives us the pattern, same kind of pattern really the Lord's Prayer has given us, but this is the one that I saw. It says asking God to cleanse us from our sin. Of course, T is thanksgiving, believing, acknowledging God's grace, and then supplication is our specific prayer request. So that's a pattern for prayer. But then I thought I went to the key elements of the Lord's Prayer because Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. And so Jesus began to teach them how to pray, and this was what he said. And so in Matthew 6, the 6th chapter, 9 to the 13th verse, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so when I broke that, we broke that down. We started looking at that in its particular pieces. And so we said adoration is hallowed be thy name. When we begin to say that, we're beginning to say that, our Father which art in heaven indicates that God is not just majestic, he's just not holy, but he's also personal. He's also loving when it says our Father. And so that is our adoration. And then divine intervention is thy kingdom come. And we talked about the kingdom come as a reference of God's spiritual reign. And then we talked about submission and thy will be done. It said thy will be done. We are not resigning ourselves to faith, but praying that God's perfect purpose and his will be accomplished in our lives. That's what we're praying. And then when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are understanding that God is our sustainer and he is our provider. And so we are acknowledging him in that way. And then when we say forgiveness, when we talk about forgive our debts, we forgive our debtors. we want God to forgive us, or we have to forgive others as well. And so, and sometimes even ourselves, because sometimes we hold ourselves in contempt of court. You know, we hold ourselves and we don't forgive ourselves for things or mistakes we might have made or decisions we might have made, and we keep going over and over and over in our mind and thoughts about it. Forgive yourself. Ask God to view you. I always ask God, say, Lord, forgive me. You know, forgive me for things I've done against you, sins of omission, sins of commission. I pray that, and then I say, Lord, help me to forgive so-and-so for what they may have done to me. Lord, don't let me hold them. Don't let me hold no grudge. Don't let me do none of that. And then I always say, Lord, help me forgive myself for allowing some things. You know, some things we allow. And so we have to even ask God to bless us to forgive ourselves so that we will not continue to hold things and keep going around with something. Forgiveness, I remember telling a young lady, I was at the hospital ministry, and I remember telling this young lady, because she had been through a horrific situation. I think she had been molested for 13 years of her life, and she was telling me, and I was talking about forgiveness. She said, how can I forgive? How can I forgive? And I began to tell her, I said, well, you got to understand, forgiveness ain't for them anyway. It's for you. Because when you open up your heart to forgive, then you are opening up your heart for opportunity for healing. And sometimes we can't get healed because we're still trying to hold somebody accountable. And so they're accountable. Their accountability don't go away just because you forgive them. That's not what happens. It ain't wiped away for them. They got to give an account to God for that. So if they still got to give an account. But what you're doing is you're releasing your heart so that God can come in and begin to heal. And so, of course, I'm not saying you're going to go over and eat no chips and coffee and do all that with them. That's not what I'm saying. You know, that might not be what happens. Some people do, some people don't. But either way, you're okay, but long as your heart is right. Remember, I tell you all the time, these are heart matters. It all has to do with what's in your heart. And so we got to remember that. I'm really trying to go slow today, so I'm not talking so fast. I hope I'm doing okay, because I can fly, go really fast. But anyway, I'm trying to go a little slow today. But anyway, so that's what forgiveness does. Learn. I was telling the story. So anyway, I was telling her that. And so she said, well, and I told her, I said, I guarantee you, if you begin to confess every day that you forgive them, I believe that God is going to manifest it in your heart. And I remember her telling me, she said, well, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to be pissed off saying it. I said, go on, say it pissed off. I'm just telling you that God is going to manifest it. I believe God. I believe in God, and I believe he's going to manifest it in your heart, and that you will see the difference. See the difference of what God is saying. And so I thank God for that. I'm doing something. But anyway, so I told her that, and I just prayed that the Lord, because you know when you go over there to the hospital and stuff, you never know the outcome of it. So that's why I always go over there, because when I go to minister in those places and I do the chaplain work, I go over there with the mindset I'm either one or two places with them. I'm either watering or I'm planting. All I know is that God is going to give the increase. And so that's what I believe, and I'm so thankful for that. So anyway, I believe God gave the increase for her, and I believe she is walking in forgiveness. That's what I believe, and so I don't have nothing else to think about that. And then the next thing about he says, lead us not into temptation. So God is not going to test us in that kind of way. Of course, the enemy comes up against us, but anyway, we're praying for God's guidance and deliverance when it comes to things that are trying to come up against us. We pray for that. And then, of course, praise is for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And so that is the praise. So we praise God in our prayers, and those were the breakdowns of the prayer: adoration, divine intervention, submission, provision, forgiveness, guidance, and deliverance, and then, of course, praise. And then the next week, I believe we talked about the power of prayer, and we began to study in God's word will help us to develop a strong prayer life. If you really want a strong prayer life, begin to read the word of God. Begin, like I said, you can Google anything that right now. You can Google. You can go out there and say, talk to Google, you know, hit the little button, the microphone, say, Google. I need scriptures on healing. She'll pull up the scriptures on healing. You can say scriptures on finances. Scriptures on finances to come. And then you can begin to read through those scriptures, and then the ones that apply to your circumstance, your situation, begin to pray those in your prayer. Even if you got to read them, pray them, or read and pray. That's read and pray. Read and pray. Pray them, and I believe God will begin to make changes in your life and begin to manifest his promises. And you got to believe it. When you pray, you got to believe you're going to receive. You can't get down there, pray, and then get up and worry. and get up to, oh, Lord, what, I don't know, you got to stop worrying. If you're going to worry, I remember I told somebody this, I was looking at something on TV years ago, and I think it was an interview with 50 Cent is what it was. I think it was 50 Cent. And he was on an interview, and he said, if you're going to worry, then don't pray. And if you're going to pray, then don't worry. And that's what he said. I remember hearing him say that, but it's so true. If we're going to pray, then we got to stop worrying. And when you begin to worry, turn your worries into prayer. So when you begin to worry, turn that worry into prayer. Begin to pray on that situation. Find you some scriptures concerning it and begin to pray those scriptures and try not to let nothing else come out of your mouth. We got to understand, we have the power of the word of God. And so that is the thing that we can speak out in faith. The word of God, that's God's word. He's going to answer his word. And so when you begin to speak that word out in prayer, God is going to answer his word. So those are the things that we got to understand. Speak the word of God on the situation. Speak it in faith. Speak it with confidence. And speak it so that God will begin to move. Sometimes we've been going around the mulberry bush, going around the mountain. He told Israel, you have been around this mountain. You have compassed this mountain long enough. He said, begin to go northward. Sometimes it's time for some of y'all to go northward. It's time for you to come out of these situations. Get the faith. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus told us. Let me get that. I've got that on here somewhere. Get my scripture. It talks about, you know, Jesus told us, have faith in God. He told us to begin to, we got to, I got it somewhere written down. Let me get that scripture so I can read it. Because that's what I want us to understand. We have got to have faith in God. Jesus himself, he said over in Mark 11, 22 and 24, he said, have faith in God. Truly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. Believe that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. That's what Jesus told us. He said, believe you're going to receive it. And so stop doubting, getting up praying, doing all that praying, and then getting up worrying about it. You don't worry about it. Pray about it. Pray about everything. Pray and ask God to do it, and I believe God's going to begin to manifest the power of prayer. I think I said this, and I'm trying to write down my little sayings. I wouldn't grab all this stuff out of my little teachings. And so I said, we have come to a place of realizing that prayer is a privilege. I talked about this, prayer being a privilege that is always ours. This is what I wrote down. But the power in prayer is always God. And so without God, we can't do it, and without us, he won't do it. If you won't pray, then he's not going to do it. You got to pray. You got to ask God to do it. If you want something done, then ask God to do it. And believe you're going to receive. Believe when you go to him that he can do it. And stop thinking, oh, I don't know, this is too hard for God. No, Abraham said best. He said, there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. And so unless we pray, things won't happen. We have to understand that when we pray, we are partnering with God. We are aligning our spirit with his, and together we will see his perfect will be done. God is waiting to hear from you, so you can call home, and you don't have to worry about no unanswered prayer. Start praying and give God what you need, and ask God for what you need him to do. And so those are some of the things. And then I've talked about this. I'm going to read this because I was looking at this book and I found it again. I think it's by Stormiel Martin. Stormiel Martin says, Finding Peace for Your Heart. This is the book. And, you know, she writes a lot about the power of a praying wife, the power of a praying husband. You know, she talks a lot about that. She has a lot of books on that. So if you marry, you know, power of praying wife, power of praying husband, you might want to get those and put those in your collection so that you can go get you some help if you need to, you know, a little boosting or something. But anyway, one thing she wrote in this particular book, she put down here the 15 reasons to pray. And it says one is to seek the face of the Lord and know him better. And that's Psalms 27:8. Then the other one is to get your eyes off your problem and on the Lord. See, that's what I said. Stop worrying, but your eyes off your problem and on the Lord. And Psalms 121:1. That's what that is. It said, lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Then it says to speak to God, 1 Peter 3:12. And then to unburden your heart. That's in Psalms 142:1-2. Then it says to make your request known to God is Matthew 21 and 22. And then to hear God, Proverbs 8 and 34. I'm just reading these, giving you the scriptures to these 15 reasons to pray. And then the next thing it says to be free of suffering, James 5 and 13. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that particular scripture in James 5 and 13 because it was talking about the righteous praying. And I told you that they had the people that were praying had the faith to believe. The person that they were praying for may have faith, but even the people that were praying for them had faith to believe. And so that's why I was telling you, when you get ready to ask somebody to pray for you, make sure they got faith to believe. Because if they don't have no faith, you don't need them praying for you. You need people that's going to pray for you that got faith. You want somebody to agree with you that has faith for what you're asking for, what you're asking them to pray with you, that prayer part that you're asking to pray with you, they got to have some faith. That's what James 15 and 5 and 13 said that they had faith to believe that the person was going to be healed. It said the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so they believed that the person was going to be healed. Don't get nobody praying for you. They broken. They don't have no money. You trying to pray now, unless y'all both praying together for the Lord to raise both of you up. Now, that's corporate prayer. That's different. But if you praying, going, saying, well, I want someone to pray for me, and like I said, they got a situation, they don't have no faith for their situation, they ain't got no faith for yours. So you need to find people that can have faith in prayer. That's why I want us to remember that. And so then the next thing is to hear God, Proverbs 8 and 34, to be free of suffering, James 5 and 15, 13, to resist temptation is Matthew 26 and 41, and then to be rescued, let's see my time, yeah, because my time goes fast. I would go through all these scriptures, but I don't have time, so I'm giving it to you. To be rescued from distress, Psalms 107 and 19. To receive God's reward, Matthew 6 and 6. To withstand evil, Ephesians 6 and 13. And then to have joy, John 16 and 24. And if you want me to read these again, you don't have this book and you need some of these scriptures, just let me know. And I can send them to you, or, you know, text them to you, or something. I'll do something, send them an email, or put them out there on the thing. But anyway, these are the things. The next thing is to have joy. These are the 15 reasons why you should pray. John 16 and 24, and then to get close to God. That's Isaiah 64 and 7, and then to be healed emotionally. James 5 and 13. There goes James again, and then to have peace. Philippians 4 and 6. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, I'm trying to read what somebody wrote here. It says, yeah, that's why Jesus put him out before he healed him. If we think about Jairus' daughter, before she had died, but he was going to heal her. But before he died, he had to put the people out because they ain't had no faith. They was taunting and saying, oh, he's too late, he's too that. He put them out so that he can begin to do what he's supposed to do. And so that's what sometimes has to happen. He got to put people out that don't believe. Because when you're trying to get a prayer answer, and when you're trying to get some healing, you don't need nobody in there that don't believe. When you're in the hospital room praying for somebody, if somebody don't have no faith, put them on out. Put them right out of the hospital room because you're trying to get healed. We want healing to take place. And so that's what I'm saying. Look, read James 5 and 13. They had the faith to believe that God was going to do it for the person that they were praying for. And so not only so does that person have faith, but they have faith. So we got to make sure we get the right prayer partner when we go before God and we want somebody to help us in prayer, want somebody to help intercede for us. Make sure they got some faith. Otherwise, don't even do it. Just go get you somebody else. I used to make a joke. I think I don't know what I was doing. I said, if you got a word, if you know the word of prayer, pray for me. If you don't call my name. I used to be cutting up about that. That was a little joke I had. I said, but don't even call my name. Don't say nothing about me because I need somebody to pray for me that got some faith that's going to believe these things are coming to pass. God bless you all. And then I was, because I just believe that. So that's something I believe in. That's something the Lord taught me as I was going through this talking about prayer. And so then we said, of course, we got to always pray in faith. If you're going to pray, pray in faith. Ain't no need getting on your knees if you're not going to pray in faith. Otherwise, you're just down there praying amiss. And that will get you an unanswered prayer. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes as I go through this recapping prayer, all the topics we talked about. So anyway, always with thanksgiving. If the Bible tells us, you know, make our requests known unto God, but we got to be thankful. He wants us to be thankful when we get thankful. We got to get our attitude and our heart right. I'm telling you, we get that heart right in the right frame of mind, that heart going right, we're going to see some changes come about in our life. And we'll begin to see God move mightily in our life because we got a changed heart And we also, you know, Elder Timberlake, she taught a series on a renewed mind. It's a good series, so I'm going to try to put that out there so y'all can hear that before she starts teaching. So you can hear those right there on the Blog Talk, on the Blog Talk Radio. You can begin to hear her because she's an awesome teacher. And so anyway, and then we got the types of prayer. I talked about the posture prayer. You know, some people get hung up on whether I should be on my knees, whether I should be lay prostrate, whether I should be walking. Some people walk and pray. Some people stand and pray. Some people sit and pray. Some people are on their knees in prayer. Some people are laying prostrate before them. I kind of do all of them. So sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't feel like being down, getting down too low because you can't get up. You know what you need to do. So you can sit and pray. Or you can lay prostrate. Sometimes I'm down laying prostrate in prayer. Sometimes I'm on my knees in prayer. Sometimes your knees get tired, so then I get down lower. I'll go prostrate in prayer. And then sometimes I get up, sit in that chair and pray. Sometimes I walk around this house and pray. So it just depends on what you're doing at the time. But just pray. You know what I'm saying? So there's different postures to prayer. So there's nothing, you don't have to be hung up on one or the other. So, and then the types of prayer. We got types of prayer. The Bible lists at least 9 types of prayer. It talks about the prayer of faith. It talks about, and that's in James 5:13, 5:15. It talks about the prayer of agreement, Acts 2:42. It talks about prayer request, making your petition or supplication. And that's in Philippians 4:6. And then it talks about the prayer of thanksgiving and the prayer of worship, Psalms 95:2-3. Prayer of worship, Acts 13:2-3, the prayer of intercession. And then 1 Timothy 2:1, prayers of imprecation. And then it talked about Psalm 69, the praying in the Spirit. Also, that was prayer of implication of Psalm 69. But praying in the Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. Also in Ephesians, and it's in Ephesians 6:18, I believe. And then also in the book of Jude, it talks about praying in the Spirit. So you have those types of prayer. And then we begin to talk about intercessory prayer and what intercessory prayer is. And I know people say I'm called to be an intercessor, and so I think some people do have a specific anointing to pray, be intercessors. But I believe we're all intercessors, actually, because a lot of us pray. We intercede for our families. We're interceding in the gap. The Bible calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And if we remember back in the Old Testament, the priest stood in the gap between a holy God and a sinful man, a sinful nation. He stood in the gap for them. When he went into on the Day of Atonement, he went into the holies to bring, to offer up sacrifice for the people and their sins and things like that. So, as a royal priesthood, these are the people of God, the saints. As a royal priesthood, you're standing in the gap for your family. If you're that prayer warrior that's praying for your family, I believe you're standing in the gap, so you're an intercessor. You're interceding for God. You're interceding, not for God, but you're interceding for your family. You're interceding for people that you may know. I talked about us being ready to pray at all times. Even on our jobs, we got to be ready to pray. I even talked about this a little bit last week when I talked about, on your job, sometimes they're cutting up on your jobs, the bosses are, and people acting up. And sometimes we get frustrated and, we want to see, I'm sick of this. And, we want to fight back. Sometimes our fight back needs to be in prayer. Sometimes we need to be praying for those people because we don't know what they've been through in life. We don't know what is fueling that behavior that they might be giving off. We don't know. Because when I was looking, Ayana, I always get her name mixed up, Fix My Life. And I was looking at that particular segment that she had on, and it was a family of, I think it was four children, no, five children, a set of twins and three other siblings, and the mother. And it was just some of the horrific things that those young people have been through. And the mother, I think, left them with the grandmother because the mother had been molested and all kind of things were happening to her. She was on drugs at the time. But when she had her children, then she was a prostitute. And when she had the children, she had them, I think, like 16, 17, 18, and 19. 16, 17, 18, and then at 19. But she had five, but the last set was 20. But what they had to go through there at their grandmother's house and whoever, I guess the guy was, I don't know if it was her husband or what he was, but anyway, some of the things that they went through and how that they had to do sexual acts to get to eat, and it was just too much. It was a lot. And so that's what I'm saying. We never know what is fueling this behavior in people. And so sometimes we got to back down. I remember Elder Pastor Prophet Harrison been telling us all week, shut up. told us to shut up. God's going to do Mount Warren by his finger than we can do with our mouth. And so sometimes we got to just be quiet and let the Lord fight the battle. And so we fight it in prayer. And so we fight it. And sometimes when they're acting up, just begin to worship within yourself. Pray and worship within yourself and let God begin to do it. He can do that so much better. He can do it so much better. I remember I got let go on a job, and I remember I had so much stuff against them. I had enough to go to EEOC. I really did. I had enough to go to EEOC, and they had, it was almost like they were torturing me, and they had done it to a bunch of us, about eight of us that they did this to. But anyway, it was torturing me. They was trying to break me, I guess is what they were trying to do. Because they was doing all kind of stuff. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, I kept telling them, if y'all want to fire me, fire me. I kept telling them that they wouldn't even fire me. They just kept, it was like they were torturing me. And so anyway, I just kept saying, well, if you want to fire me, fire me. You know, hey, let's move this along. We ain't got to go through all this. Just let's move on. But anyway, God does all things work together for the good of them that love God and call according to his purpose. So I know that. But they were doing that. They were doing and doing this. And so when they finally decided to let me go, because I had filed a grievance against them and all these kind of stuff. But anyway, when they finally had decided to let me go, I told them I was coming after them. I told them, you know, my mouth can run. You know, I when the Lord tell me shut up, I really do mean to shut up, because I believe it. Because, you know, sometimes my mouth can run. But anyway, and you know, sometimes when you're a natural born fighter, my father was a fighter. So I don't know if I got that from him, where I got that from. But anyway, Lord, I'll be trying to keep that under subjection to the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we don't want to go there. But anyway, I told him, I said, oh, no, I got enough to get you, and I'm coming for you. That's what I told him. I told him that before I got off that phone, because I was mad. You got to get mad. People doing something, so you just be mad about it. So anyway, the next day, the Lord told me, no, you're not doing nothing to him. And he told me to call him and tell him I wasn't. I said, really? I got to call him? So I was obedient. I was obedient because the Lord can do so much more than what you can do. And so I called him, the director, I called him, and I told him, I said, you know, the Lord told me to stay my hand. You know what I told you yesterday I was going to do? The Lord told me, no, I can't do it. And he said, no, you're not going to do it. So I'm just going to tell you that I'm not going to do this. And I said, I just wanted to let you know that. So I told him, I called him, told him that, told him I prayed the Lord bless him, and, you know, so and so and so and so, and then I got on off the phone. And so, but anyway, I'm telling you, the Lord will do more, because they got rid of a bunch of us, you know, because they wanted to make their bottom line look better, and, you know, they did, instead of just letting people go and give them a severance or something like that, they began to attack us, and you might have had a good report last time, and then all of a sudden you felt like you plummeted, bam, and went down to nothing, so there was a lot going on. But anyway, and I just noticed how the Lord, you know, they didn't get none of them contracts they went after or anything like that. And so not that you go into that, because I still have friends that work there. And so, but the Lord has blessed them, even the ones that were there. You know, they've gone on to get other jobs. And so I'm so thankful for that the Lord took care of them. And I'm so grateful for that. And so, but anyway, sometimes you got to learn how to pray for people when they are doing you wrong. And then you got to learn how to forgive them and to get that out of your heart so you won't harbor it. And so you won't harbor it. And sometimes, you know, I be thinking when I talk about it with so much passion, I say, well, Lord, I must still need some healing there, so I need to get that out of my heart, because I don't want to be, I don't like grudge holding and stuff like that. I don't like all that. I don't like, because first I don't have time to be thinking about how I'm going to get you back. I don't have time for all that. That's too much. I want to just get it on out and move on forward, because I love being free in my mind about stuff, and I don't like to be holding things against people because I don't think it's necessary. And so that's just me, and that's how I've always been all my life. I've never been a grudge holder, praise God, and I thank God for that. And I'm quick to forgive. I am quick to forgive. When something goes, I say, Lord, please bless me to forgive them and bless me to, you know, don't hold nothing against people. And so don't charge nothing against people, because I don't want it. That's just not what I want to do or what I want to be. And so those are some of the things we got to think about. But anyway, I'm going back to prayer. And so we got to, we have to let prayer lead us in these things. And so when we praying in the Spirit leads us. But anyway, when we're intercessors, we are interceding for people. So we got to, you know, and this is the thing about intercessory. Don't take the burden on. Now, you might be standing in the gap for that person. You might be praying hard for that person, and you're praying for that specific need of that person, and you're doing all of that, but it is not your burden. It is, give that right back to the Lord, because that's who needs to have it, is the Lord. So you cannot, see what I'm saying? People are harassing people on the job, but you got to Sometimes we got to fall back and we got to see, look at it from the, in the spirit and say, you know, that is something that's going on in their life that is fueling that behavior. And so I don't have to, respond like they are giving it to me. But what I have, I got to protect myself now. You got to protect yourself. You know, if you need to file a grievance and those things like that, you got to do what you got to do. But what you don't have to do is retaliate in the same attitude that they are bringing it to you. Take it to God in prayer. And I'm telling you, that's easier said than done. That is really easier said than done. So you got to really pray that the Lord help you to get to that place, because everybody ain't at that place. That takes some time to get through. I mean, it's taking me some time to get to that. And when I'm on a job now, and I said, Lord, I truly ain't got to go back through this right here. But the Lord is teaching me to be quiet. Be quiet. It ain't your battle. You don't have to battle. This is all. You're here for a temporary situation. Don't get in it. Stay out of it. And that's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to stay in peace. And I've got to pray for people, because people need prayer and they need the leading of God. Leadership, even on these jobs, they need God in their life. They need to be led by God and not by their foolishness and their emotions and all that kind of stuff, because they're doing too much. And so we got to be the ones that stand in the gap and pray and pray, 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 because there's other people that are being affected. Not only you, other people are being affected too. So we got to pray that the Lord will begin to move mightily in these situations. God is the God of battles. You know, if we look at, and we're going to talk about these battles next week, this is something the Lord gave me. He told me this today, and he said, I want you to talk about the battles in the Bible and how God won those battles. And, you know, like I remember, if we think about Jehoshaphat and how he was outnumbered and how God, God, he said, send forth the praise, and how God won that battle for them. And so we got to understand God can win the battle. He's the one going to win the battle. It ain't got to be us trying to do it. We try to be in it sometimes, because sometimes some of us are just natural-born fighters. You know, we're going to fight. We're going to get it on. I used to tell people, you know, I don't start no fight, but if you come to me, then I got to go. We got to go for it. You know, that's what I used to say. And I meant that, because that's how it was. I wasn't going to start no fight. I wasn't a fight starter. That wasn't me. I didn't go up starting no fights. But if you came to me, because what I don't like is to be, I'm not going to be tortured. That's what I'm not going to be. So if you come to me, tell me you're going to beat me up, then guess what? We're going to fight then, because we're going to get this done and get it over with. Because what I'm not going to be, you're not going to keep taunting me. Come on, I'm going to get you. I wasn't like that as a child. I remember a young lady. She looked like she was 6 foot in the fifth grade. You know, I was short. And so she was 6 foot in the fifth grade, and she was a big girl. And so she told me she was going to beat me up, and I remember one of my classmates said, Denise, you got to go on fight. That was big. But anyway, after school, I went up to her and said, here I am, you want to fight? And she said, well, I didn't say I was going to do it today. But she never bothered me again, because I was just one of those people. I wasn't getting ready to be tortured by nobody. We're not getting ready to do all that. We're going to get it on. Let's get it on and get it done and move on, because I don't have time for all that. That's how it was when I was coming up. But anyway, but I believe that we have to be ready to pray. I was telling us about the power of prayer and us being ready to pray, and how that young man on my job was talking about he felt like he was having his left side was on. I said, Lord, in my mind I was thinking, I hope he's not having a heart attack, but I didn't speak that out of my mouth. But when he fell back, and I remember hollering 911, I went over there to pray, and I remember the Lord blessing him to open up his eyes before the ambulance came to get him. And so he was out for about 3 months, but the Lord brought him back, and he's still moving on today. So I praise God for that. And even how I told you how the lady prayed for me when I was in the hospital, and I told her I was going to see him on the other side. She said, oh, no, ain't nobody dying today, not on my watch. So we, and even how Elder Johnson and Elder Davis called me and prayed for me before I left that hospital, and the enemy was exposed, and they saw that blood clot on my lungs begin to act up. And so, I told him, I said, something's going wrong, and how the Lord blessed me. I didn't go home, that I was right there in the hospital. So thank God, because they said probably if I went home, I wouldn't have made it back. And so all of that, but how the Lord will take care of you if you got good praying people around you. So we got to be ready to pray as the people of God, even like for our nation. We got to be praying, because they're not praying. So, and it's up to us. It's up to us to pray and to really begin to intercede for this nation and the sins of this nation, just like Nehemiah and Ezra and all of them did when they was praying, when they was fasting and praying for the nation, then that they would turn around. We got to pray that this nation would turn around and that the leadership would get saved. They need saving. They need the Holy Ghost. They need that. And so, because otherwise the Lord going to show them, I think it's Psalms 219, 17, 19, somewhere around in there. I got to remember. There is it Psalms 9 somewhere anyway. But he tells them, he said, I'll show them that they're just mere men. And so God going to show them. So we got to believe God going to fight the battle even in this situation. And so that we got to pray. So it's up to us to intercede for the nation, just like they were the people of God was interceding for the nations back then. Even how Jonah, he went to Nineveh, and, you know, he didn't want to go because he thought Nineveh was an evil nation, but they did believe in God. And when the king of Nineveh heard what God was going to do, honey, they went down in sackcloth and ashes, and they began to pray, fast and pray, and turn their story around. They turned it around because of what they did. And so that's what we got to understand. We can turn things around in this nation if we begin to fast and pray for our nation. And so those are some of the things we got to do. So we talked about corporate prayer and the importance of corporate prayer. Sometimes you got to come together with other people and pray. You need that unity in prayer also. You can't be a lone wolf all. Don't be a lone wolf all the time. When it comes up to warfare and stuff, you got to get with people and pray and get that corporate going. They ask for people to pray. But one thing about my prayer team, my ministry team, if we send an email and say we need prayer, he sends it out to the whole team and for all of us to pray, and we begin to pray and intercede. And we've heard so many testimonies come forth from our team about how God turned things around, because that's important to partner with people in prayer. But I said, remember, they got to have faith. Okay, that's the one thing I remember. Oh, my time is up. So I'm going to have to finish this. My time is going fast. So I've really been over running my mouth. But anyway, I do want to talk. Then we talk about praying in the Spirit. Of course, I want anybody that does not have the Holy Spirit, ask God for it. It's a gift. If you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, ask God for it. It's a gift. I know people that done got it at home. I know people that got it in the water, getting baptized. I know people that got it on the altar, Terry, and I know people that, you know, they've been in different places and got the Holy Ghost. So he'll fall on you. He'll fill you. You ain't got to be sitting up in the church all the time. If you got the right heart and the right mind, he'll do it right where you are. That's what I know. I've heard testimony about the day they received the Holy Ghost. And so those things God got that available for you. So if you want to give it to you, that's why I was telling you about the widow was unjust. If you go to God and ask, well, how much better is he going to give a good gift? He wants to give it. It's his gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we're going to begin to talk about next week, we're going to talk about these weapons of our warfare. And then I wrote a thing that talked about weapons of mass victory. That's what I call them. I talked about them as being weapons of mass victory. And we're going to talk about that while we're waiting on Elder Tim Lake to talk about humility, because it falls in alignment with prayer. These are the things we need to use. So we're going to talk about obedience and faith as being a pillar of one of our weapons. It's that victory. It's that victory that we can stand on. Faith and in obedience, and how that prayer and intercession is that communication that we stand in, and that's a weapon. And then how in the name of Jesus is one of our weapons, and how the Word of God is one of our weapons we can use against the enemy, and all of these things. And we go to the authority in Jesus' name gives us that authority, and so we got to understand that that's what that's doing for us. And then I'm just flipping. And so then we got to, all of these things. And so we're going to talk about that. So what I want to do, I don't ever want to get off the line without beginning to give people an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. Maybe you was at church and you didn't want to go down when they was asking today, or maybe you didn't go to church today, but maybe you are here this broadcast and you're on here now, or maybe you'll hear it later or another day or whenever you'll hear it, but you want to give your life to Christ. We got to understand over in Romans 3:23, it talks about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, it talks about the penalty of our sin is death, but Christ, Jesus Christ, in Romans 5:8, it talks about Jesus Christ died for our sin. And so then, of course, in Romans 10:8-10, it talks about to be forgiven of our sin, we must believe and declare that Jesus is Lord. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. That's how salvation comes through. And so, so we have to know that. So if you don't know the Lord and the partner of your sins, but you want to accept him as your Savior today, just pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from my way, and I will follow you. I openly admit by my own mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my own heart that God has raised you from the dead, Jesus from the dead. With my confession, I believe your word when it says that I will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now, and now I am saved. And I believe that I will receive, the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. So I believe if you prayed that prayer and you were sincere in your heart, that you are saved. I believe the angels in heaven are rejoicing over that one soul that came to Christ. And I ask you, I always tell you, find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that you can go to, and begin to continue on this journey, and that you will grow. They will help you to grow. They'll help you to learn more about Christ. They'll help you to build your faith. The Bible says faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you can begin to exercise and begin to learn more and more about God. There is a good Bible-believing church in your area, and you can find it. And you always invite you over to the Potter's House. I'm going to invite you there because that's my church. But anyway, I'm going to invite you over there because that's my church. And so it's good Bible-believing teaching over there. If you're in this area, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's good Bible-believing teaching over there. So I'm going to invite you over there. But if you're in the Indianapolis area, because I know I've got the Indianapolis Saints online, it's some good churches over in there. It's some good churches. Don't make me start calling out the pastor's name because a whole bunch of them. And so I know it'd be true because that's where I'm from. And so go find you one of them good Bible-believing teaching churches and get on in there and get started. And believe that God's going to bless you. If you're over in Chicago area, you know it's some over there. Some of the Chicago Saints on the left. And so it's people everywhere and all anywhere else that you might be from. I don't know where everybody's from, but I know it's some good Bible-believing teaching churches in your area. And so they will help you on your journey that you will grow and you will grow and you will know who God is and you will be able to live this journey. It is, I tell you, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I'm so thankful for God saving me. He saved me at a young age. I was young when I got, I've been baptized. My mother started out in the Methodist church, so I've been baptized and sprinkled. And so then I was over in the Baptist church, so I went down Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then I was over in the Apostolic church, so I've been down in Jesus' name. And so, I'm covered. So anyway, so I've been down all them names. What I'm telling you is there's good Bible believing. It was a transition that God was taking me on. And so I told you about that when I was over in the Baptist church. I remember going to Bishop Nolan, and I asked him, I said, well, you know, this is what the Lord has been dealing with me about. And so, you know, and he's such a good man of God, and I thank God for him. I thank God for him being one of my fathers in the gospel. I thank God for him. And so he helped me to transition, and then I was over there with Bishop Allen, and Lord, that was such a blessing and transition for me to go through, and he was such an awesome teacher. So I learned so much from both of them. And then I was over there with Elder Farr, who came from Cathedral Praise along with me, and Elder Farr was such a blessing. He helped me to understand some things at a difficult time in my life when I was going through with the saints. And so he helped me to understand that, and so I was so thankful for him. And then, of course, I ended up here in Texas, so I've been under Bishop Jake since the whole time I've been here for some 18 years. It's been 18 years since I left Indianapolis. You know, I go to Indianapolis every year, so I feel like I ain't left. So anyway, I'll be there almost every year, and sometimes two or three times a year. So, I mean, I always go home, and so because that's where my family is and you know, my friend families and all of them people. And so anyway, but they're all there. But anyway, I want to pray real quick, and so we're going to end the broadcast. Thank you all for those that listen to us on Facebook Live. We thank you for all of you all for participating and being a part. And so we thank God for each and every you, Father, every one of you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless each and every one on the sound of my voice. God, I'm asking a particular specific prayer for Minister Phyllis Dotson today. She's under the weather, so I'm asking you to bless her and heal her body. I ask you to bless El Pastor Dotson, Lord. I ask you to bless him and strengthen him and keep him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing all of those under the sound of my voice. Lord, you know what they stand under. Today and his new wife, Lord, bless them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless all of the people under the sound of my voice. plead the blood of Jesus over their lives right now. Bless them to have a good week. We ask you to keep them safe, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Put a wall of fire around about them, Lord, even as they slumber and sleep. Lord, let your angels encamp around about them, Father, in the name of Jesus. If there's healing needed to be taking place, let your healing virtue flow. We thank you that you are shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, you are light and our salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that you are the strength of our life. We thank you, Lord, that you are very present, helping the time of trouble. Lord, we thank you that you told us that we delight ourselves also in thee, that you would give us the desires of our heart. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, to continue to increase our faith, continue to enlarge our territories, and to continue to bless us, Lord, as only you can. We praise God for everything that you've done, and we give you the glory, and we magnify your holy name. Thank you for the soul that came to Christ, God, or the souls, God. We thank you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that this word would be a water and planting for some and watering for some. But, Lord, we know you're going to give the increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you all. I thank you, Lord, for watching us today, being a part. And we thank you, Lord, for all those that were logged in and called in on the broadcast today. We thank you for all those that will listen later. God bless you. We'll be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. We're going to talk about them weapons of warfare and our weapons of mass victory. That's what we're going to start talking about. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen.